kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Are you a youngin', huh?
I'm 18. Yes.
That's freaking youngin'. That's very youngin'. But it's a good thing.
If I was 12, I wouldn't have worked today, so.
Well, in some countries you might have.
In America I wouldn't have. Maybe if I was born on a farm.
CJ's in China right now. He's been working in sweatshops all day.
Tortellini on hold for you.
Oh, bitch, bitch, bitch.
Oh, that's legit. Tortellini's a real deal.
Yeah, well, I had SpaghettiOs for dinner.
With or without meatballs, that matters.
With.
That does.
Clearly okay. With.
That's okay, better.
Say, without meatballs, I don't know what to tell you. Philistines is just
if you get that hacking shit without meatballs anymore, it's just like soup.
Yeah, it's not.
Plus, it's like, that's like for 5-year-olds. If you don't get meatballs, you're not a man.
Ever since Campbell's took over and bought out Franco America, like, it has gone downhill. Like, if you don't have meatballs in there, it is fucking soup. And even for a while there with meatballs, it was still like you could open the can and drain it before you.
Well, before you that actually sounds gross. Ate. I hope you're recording because this is interesting.
I mean, on that note, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
I'm doing better than I should be, considering I work today and I'm tired. I'm still happy. It's weird.
And then no interview today, which is kind of shocking. It's kind of like a week off. But instead of an interview, we've got Pernell joining us. Pernell, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, a little on the slumber side, but that's what happens on Thursdays.
So you have busy Thursdays, don't you?
Oh God, yes. They stay busy. Like I did work, then I had the podcast on Rhythm and Pixels, and after that I had to make a lawnmower broker exchange with a buddy of mine, and then after that I had to immediately do this. Like my whole day was just like boom, 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 boom.
No, you know, stopping. I did offer, or Joe offered, because I asked if we could record on either Wednesday or Friday.
No, I needed it to be today. That's the funniest part of all. Like, yesterday, I was busy yesterday, too, and then tomorrow.
Yeah, I wound up getting called into work anyway.
And then on Friday, the episode releases. So,
yeah, tag wouldn't work.
Recording Friday night would have been bad.
We could have recorded Friday morning at 9 a.m. Instead of 9 p.m. it's 9 a.m. damn it. Makes a new morning, fans.
I don't know if I'd be awake.
I wouldn't.
Fuck that.
Welcome to the snoring podcast.
Oh man, so what have you guys been up to lately? What's going on? What's good? What's good in the hood?
I spent a lot of money on games. I got this game on Xbox 360 called Jurassic the Hunted. Have you ever even heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, I got it for like $15. It's an easy completion, and I got it off eBay, and it's rare-ish.
Oh, nice.
Like, there wasn't a GameStop within 30 miles that had it.
I wonder why it's rare-ish. Is it because it might not be good?
Oh, no, it's actually probably a really decent game.
Yeah, it's just...
Yes.
Intriguing. Now I want to see.
I think it's just a thing of not that many copies were made of it.
That's possible. I'm just like, sometimes, like, it's hard to gauge sometimes when people are like, hey, what's this game? And being on the pulse of hearing about a lot of stuff, to have not heard of a game at all this day and age almost seems scary. It's like, no one's talking about it. That's a bad sign.
I also got my second copy of Halo 4. This time it's the Game of the Year edition. So I have
So you can play on two systems and get double the achievement points.
Not until I buy a second 360.
He's going to farm against himself.
unless it becomes backwards compatible, in which case I could use my Xbox One and my 360.
Form link or shit.
I thought you can't be logged into the same profile.
No, you can. It works now. It used to be that way. But now you can be playing a game on both systems at the same time. You just can't have multiple of the same system. They changed that, I think, when they were doing the whole Windows 10 thing, because it was probably causing problems where people would get kicked off of Xbox One or if they're on the Windows 10. So they changed it.
Closest GameStop with Jurassic for me is like 14 miles away.
That's closer than mine. Mine was 30.
That's not bad.
So I was, and it was like the same price, so, and free shipping on eBay. So I was just like, all right, it's in a shitty condition, which I'm a little worried about. But eh.
Trying to bus out that day trip. Get your Jurassic on. Like,
it's not worth that. I'd rather just get the free shipping and pay a dollar more because I don't get the pro bonus from eBay. Like, whatever. Pro. It was at least free shipping, so who cares?
The freest of shippings.
And I also got three things off of Amazon, but those don't come until Monday.
Saturday. What you got?
I got a headset for my Xbox 360, finally. Again. Because my other ones are broke. And then I got Lord of the Rings War in the North and Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition. Because I own New Vegas, but I didn't have any DLC, and it was way cheaper to buy the DLC on a disc.
I still got to come across a cheap 360 to replace my old one, because I want to future-proof it. Because I got one of the old ones that was one of the original releases that then got refurbished after the Red Ring recalls. So I'm like, this thing's been putting in a lot of work. It is not new. So it might be worth trying to get a replacement, get one of the newer ones that were like built nicer and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got one of those newer ones, but I feel like it's going to be going soon.
Really? I thought they were like built in a way where it's like it probably would stick around longer. But then again, you probably play the hell out of yours.
I've had it for 5 years now. It's mainly the power bricks. I think if I can replace the power brick, I'll be good for a little while longer. Because the power brick sounds like a jet engine. Yeah, it's awful.
Never good.
It calms down after a few minutes, but I could turn it on right now and you could hear it on the podcast, but
I don't think
you'd want that. Yeah, sounds like a chainsaw starting up.
So you might want to be careful. I think you have a serial killer in the house.
So quick update. The my local GameStop has Jurassic the Hunted on the Wii that I could get.
Yeah, but that's not a 360. I wanted 360 for the easy ass achievements.
Your chance to shine, Mr. Wee. Oh, I forgot to mention also that game I kickstarted like 15 million years ago arrived today unexpectedly.
Oh, what
game? The Dark Souls board game.
Oh, nice.
A board game. I didn't know they made a board game.
And this box is freaking huge, and this is the box. I didn't even get any of the expansions or anything.
There's expansions to a thing that just got kickstarted?
Well, it got kickstarted years ago. It just now released is all. And you know how those things go. They always have the stretch goals. Like, if we get X amount of dollars, we'll do these expansion packs and these expansion packs. And there were a number of them that got produced or made. But at that point, the game, I don't even remember how much I paid. I just remember it being enough for the base set. I was like, I really don't know if I want to spend more money on a bunch of expansions this soon. I haven't even played the game proper yet.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Now I have all these expansions to go with it.
God. Well, you better get to playing, I guess.
Someday. I don't live in a world where people like board games. Everyone wants to just drink and stare at the moon. I wish they would stare at the moon. That would be entertaining.
I was going to say, the moon's actually kind of an interesting thing. I mean, we might have been there once or twice, but that don't mean that we all know it.
That's what they want you to think.
Oh, conspiracy theorist, huh?
I think the reality of it was they were just in a cave and they put some strobe lights up. And they had a guy in the back corner with a ukulele playing like weird space sounds. And it all worked out that way. It was all fraud, all made up. It was all done in Luray Caverns.
I just liked your sound effects there.
Sounds very space-like.
Sounds like the moon to me.
That's just the noises that protrude from the moon naturally.
What about the wizard? Did they come from the moon?
Oh. That's such an old joke.
That's just crazy enough to be true.
Oh man, I guess we should dive into the news, shouldn't we?
Yep.
About the nudes.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't make
so
the joke.
So, my fat, hairy titties. No.
not the nudes I'm in for. No,
well,
nudes.
Well, you didn't specify.
Good point. I regret my hasty decision.
So I think that the big news of the week is that info leaked out and then was basically confirmed a few hours later that Darksiders 3 is coming from THQ Nordic and Gunfire Games.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of wish that leak didn't happen.
Why?
because it's like 2018. I hate it. Yeah. I hate learning about games releases too soon. It's like, look, they're working on it regardless. Just keep that shit in the pot. And when we take the lid off, it's like, I prefer when, like, you know, sometimes you have those press conferences, like, okay, hey guys, by the way, while you wait for this other game to come out, we already, not only did we have this game coming, but it's already here. Go buy it today. Like, I don't even have to anticipate shit. It's already out. Like, there's no need to really get that hype train rolling when, like, people already like Darksiders and... Heaven forbid they need to get a few more people on board. They could have been like, hey, we got Dark. Not only have we been working on Darksiders 3 all this time, but it'll be out in 2 months. And for all you people who haven't played them, you could buy the Fury Edition, which I guess is like that pack that they've got out in celebration of it. You can get the War Mastered Edition and the second game. I saw it on the Xbox store at least for $20.
Yeah, so the first two games.
They could have been like, hey. They could have been like, hey, you got 2 months for this game to come out. Just enough time to play through these games. I don't want to say it'll get you caught up.
I think just 2 months heads up for something like that is not nearly enough.
Oh, okay, I think this maybe is a little bit more. It could have been though. A couple, maybe 3 or 4 months. But I mean, like, the idea of just like saying like 2018 is when the game comes out. By then, it's like they're going to have to rekindle the hype.
See, but we don't know when in 2018. It could be like a January, February release, and then it's not even a year.
I'll believe that when I see it, but
I'm just
right,
surprised they didn't hold off until E3.
Summer. It got leaked, remember? Maybe they were.
Yeah, but they didn't have to say anything. The leak could have been fake, as far as they were concerned.
They took the high road. I hate when companies pull that fake shit. Oh, we can't confirm it this time. Get out of here. You know it's true. Yeah, you just look like you're just scared for some reason. Just say it's your game. It's coming out. Be done with it. You're going to sell it anyway. Like, really, what good does it even do to be like, we can't confirm that? Like, what are you going to do? Just, crap, they found out, man, we got to cancel the whole project. Like, no one's ever done that. No studio has ever done
that. You don't know that.
They've never done that. It's never happened.
There's been fake leaks before that possibly weren't fake until the leak.
Super Mario 64 2. Oh, shit.
Oh, hey, well, we're scale-bound. Scale-bound die.
I guess they found out. Just cancel the whole project. You're all unemployed. I guess that never happens. It won't happen, and that is the truth. It's just
how it
goes.
It would be funny, but it would also be very sad.
It would be very sad. It's like that's practically a Family Guy sketch waiting to happen. It's like that. Remember that time? It's like threw all the game was in gold. They just throw all the prototypes in the trash and just like incinerate every game. This doesn't make sense.
See now, I'm going back and I'm looking at dates. The original Darksiders released in January, and then Darksiders 2 released in August. So I think an early 2018 release couldn't be out of the question for this.
Or they could try to go with a hat trick and put it on December of 2018. Then they had January, then August, and then December.
That's not a good time for them to do it. I think it would be smartest if they did it like early February or March when not as many big games
release
are coming
it on Christmas Day.
Let's be honest, we've hit a point where there is no window anymore. That those days are long gone.
Very true.
I think AAA, there's still a window. AAA games aren't constant. It's just games as a general are constant now.
I think the
AAA sales don't even have that level of demand. Oh, okay. First of all, if we're talking like AAA, as much as I like Darksiders, I don't think it's going to really be counted as a AAA in that logic.
Not at all.
It's still a high profile game, but it's not AAA in the scope that we're talking here with the AAA release window. But as far as like just quality games go, there's never a break.
Oh, by the way, now that we're back to this, I did a little bit of research on what AAA.
Let's get away from it again. There's no Jesus. Time. There's
no, I did some research. I did research. This is research. AAA really just means that they had a large enough scale of development, like enough money to make a game.
Large enough? Was that about money? The thing that
it's a budget. About the budget.
It's about the budget, which we mentioned before, right? It was the budget. Yeah, we did.
Never mentioned that.
In the video game industry, AAA is a classification term used for games with the highest development budgets and levels of promotion. A title considered to be AAA is therefore expected to be a high-quality game or to be among the year's bestsellers. There, that's what a AAA game is.
I only found that out because a game that we're reviewing later today, I was trying to do some research on, and I found out it was AAA more than I expected it was.
I think you just magically forgot that we told you that before your magic research. No, you just don't want to acknowledge the truth.
No.
That's exactly what we said. AAA. She was like, nope. The Smurfs is definitely a AAA game.
I never said the Smurfs are AAA game. You Smurfs take that back.
Rescue from Gargamel's Castle is a AAA game. You guys understand.
And even still, the game that you're talking about that you're going to be reviewing later, I wouldn't consider a AAA.
No, I wouldn't. I didn't think it was until I did the looking up on it and found that they had a AAA budget with it.
Eh.
You can't say that, damn it. I looked it up and it linked directly to AAA. That's why I knew it. That's why I didn't actually research
the internet AAA never lies, ever.
The internet never lies, and maybe it's not about budget at all.
Gabe Newell sleeps nude in an oxygen tank.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, back on the subject of Darksiders, we should probably, give the details of what's going on. Like Purnell said, it is slated to release sometime in 2018 on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Maybe a Switch version will eventually be a reality, since Darksiders War Mastered Edition, or Darksiders 2, whatever it is still planning to release on the Wii U this month, shockingly.
Wow.
You are going to
wonder
play
how many tens of people are going to buy that.
All the dozen. Hey.
There's a lot of people with the system. It's just a question of how many people that own a Wii U that would like Darksiders doesn't also own another console that already has it.
True.
That's the hiccup.
Darksiders 3, you're going to be playing as Fury, a mage who must rely on her whip and magic to restore the balance between good and evil on Earth. Ooh.
Yeah, the mage with the whip. Man, RPGs take note. Well, technically, I guess Dragon Quest VIII did that, but I think that's the only one that really did that. No. Okay, never mind. Final Fantasy IV did it too, but those are the only two mages that had whips.
Whip crack.
Crack that whip.
Explore an open-ended, living, free-form game world. So it looks like they're going back to the open-world design of Darksiders 2. You will be fighting the seven deadly sins, which could be pretty interesting.
I feel like that's been done a lot of times before, though.
I'm playing Darksiders 2.
I know it was done in Dante's Inferno, but I really like Dante's Inferno.
I never got to play that one.
I thought it was really cool. And the devil had, like, a gigantic dick at the end.
Well, I mean, if I were the devil and I had those powers, I'd make sure I had a giant dick. That's just that's part of the
demon
package.
Cock flopping around.
Though admittedly, I'd want to be able to retract and extend at will, because sometimes it's just inconvenient.
Retractable penis.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta go through a turnstile at the airport, retract, sitting out getting some sun and just relaxing, extend, just the breeze, hit all of it, and just enjoy yourself, enjoy your penis. It's just what's not to like. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know how to segue from that to other news.
Just do it.
Speaking of dicks.
Yeah, just be like, eh. Just
Nintendo.
The next
a negative personality in the industry. Speaking of dicks, this asshole decided. There you go.
Oh, we can mention Call of Duty.
No, I'm good. Speaking of retractable demon penis, Nintendo has been shipping the Nintendo Switch consoles by plane to help meet demand of the system.
I can appreciate that, honestly. At the same time, it's like I guess they always usually ship by truck or whatnot, or like just like by shipping boat. Container.
They ship by boat due to the cost of shipping things by plane. Apparently, shipping by plane can increase the costs of up to $45 per unit.
Damn. And also, I just realized how dumb that sounded. I was like, ship them by truck?
Yeah. Across the Pacific.
My brain's thinking Redmond, Washington, as opposed to where they're actually produced, which is Japan's or China or whatever. But didn't even think about that. So, womp the womp.
So, yeah, it looks like they're actually trying to get systems out. They were originally targeting, I think, 2 million systems in March and ended up doing, like, 2.7.
Not sure how I even feel about that, because on one hand, Nintendo is, like, notorious for, like, underselling and underproducing stuff. And, like, my friends definitely will talk about it like crazy. But no one's talking about this Switch plane shipping thing until you brought it up. And I guess that's a couple of like, articles I mean, like, people I talk to regularly. No one's bringing that up. It's like, this is like the diamond in the rough of, like, Nintendo shipping stories. Well, they're actually working their asses off to get it out to everybody. Can I get my Nintendo Classic? That's done. That's over.
You can't fault them for not wanting to you know, make millions of the things and ship them out, because look at how well the Wii U did.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not faulting them at all. They're smart to hold back. I just think it's interesting that, like, they're doing this, which is a good thing. You know, I appreciate it. It's just that, in light of the other stuff that were, like, bona fide hits, it's like the NES Classic. It's like, hey, more people want it. You haven't hit capacity yet. Nah, we're just going to quit. We're done. No more of those. Why? Because they're boring now. We're bored of it.
I mean, to be fair, when that thing first came out, they did say it was going to be a limited time. You know, it wasn't meant to be endlessly produced. And I'm sure they want to put their focus back on not only the Switch, but also on the new 2DS that they announced last week.
The gajillionth 2DS.
Because when you buy a console like that, they can make more money from you from software sales. With the NES Classic, that's it. There's no other money to be made there.
And honestly, I don't know what the profit margin was for that either, so.
I have no idea. It was only $60, so I'm going to imagine it wasn't that much.
I mean, that's what was cheap to produce, like a $5 bubble.
Eh, who knows?
Oh, Nintendo.
Who knows? Some other Nintendo news. They detailed the first expansion for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. There's no date yet beyond summer still, but it's going to include Trial of the Sword, which is wave-based enemies, 45 rooms in total, and once you complete it, the Master Sword will always be in its powered-up state. So that could possibly be game-breaking.
Well, I think by that point, though, if you're going through the hassle of doing all these 45 rooms and such, you kind of may have already done. Well, people that adopted it early, mind you,
yeah,
you pretty much already maxed out what the game's going to do. But if a person decides they want to do the 45 room thing and just get a maxed out Master Sword, that's on them.
Yeah, I mean, and then you won't have to worry about shit breaking all the time, which is always a positive. It will include a hard mode, which includes stronger leveled up enemies who regain health, as well as enemies and treasure that are flying in the sky on little floating rafts.
I'm not sure how that's supposed to work. Is that it's incentive for you to use the Octorok balloons or whatever mm-hmm. to float up to them?
Yep.
So weird.
Use a bow and arrow to shoot the fuckers down.
Shoot an entire landmass down. You just killed my little boy. Well, maybe you shouldn't have gotten in the way of my treasure hunt. You ever think about that?
I just like the idea that you could be walking around and a fucking goblin will be shooting shit down at you from above. Get down here,
goblins down here. So crafty. Stealing my bit.
And then the expansion is also going to include a bunch of little things as well, like Hero Path mode, which is going to show the path that Link has walked across the past 200 hours of your play.
I do admit, weird. I think that's pretty cool in its own right, because that's a lot of lot for them to track.
Yeah.
Though I guess it's hard to gauge how much time you can spend in a particular area, too, so who knows? Maybe it's easier than we're giving it credit for. But yeah,
and it'll help let you know where you've been and where you haven't explored yet, which is good.
Yeah, find those extra shrines that you might be lacking.
Yeah. They're going to include a travel medallion, which is hidden somewhere in a chest in the world, and allows you to create a fast travel point based on where you are. It's basically like a one-time use. So find a good spot, make it your own custom.
Well, it might not be a one-timer. It might be a matter of, like, you leave it, and then when you warp back to it, you can pick it up and use it somewhere else.
Possibly.
Because it'd be kind of lame if they're like, you get one use. Make it count.
It's possible that there's multiple of them around as well.
That would be cool, then.
So it's basically, it lets you create where you want a fast travel point to be instead of just all the shrines.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. But whether they do a reusable or multiples, they can't just do one and done.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out. This summer, they're going to have more armor, including Majora's Mask, Midna's Helmet, a Phantom Armor set, and Tingle's Outfit set. So if you wanted to look like Tingle...
Game breaking. Why? That's game. There's your game breaker.
I just wonder, like, what the set bonuses are going to be.
Rupee Wonderland. Who's ready to party with Tingle?
And then the last thing that will be included is a Korok mask, which hidden somewhere in a chest in the world. When you equip it, the mask will shake whenever a hidden Korok is nearby, and with 900 of those little fuckers in the world, I'm sure it'll help you track down a few that you've missed on the way.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be pretty useful to have if you're not FAQing it. Though, to be honest with you, with a thing like that, I don't think you need them all unless you really want that. Well, I probably shouldn't spoil it for those who haven't looked up and want to know what there's something. But I thought, what I was spoiling what it is freaking useless. So I was like, unless you really want that useless extra thing, you only need like half of them to max out Link. So
I love that the game basically mocks you for finding all of them.
Yeah, that's what I think is cool. It's like, it's one of those where it's like, if you're in the habit of like, just, you just want to collect them because you enjoy seeking them out, then you really don't need an FAQ telling you what to do. The mask would be good for the purpose of like, man, I'm just really having trouble with this last like 100 or something. Good thing I have this mask or something like that. Or then again, but then by that point, maybe you do want the FAQ. So it's like, maybe. I don't know. The mask might be a little bit, it's hard to say. Anyway. See,
I got the guide, the collector edition guide for the map that was included, thinking, oh, this is going to help me find stuff that, you know, I need some seeds here, some seeds there. It is so intimidating to you know, open up that map and just look at all the dots on there. And I think I immediately just folded it back up and set it aside. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen.
None of this for me, thanks.
There's just way too much. The map's too big. There's too many dots. It's not worth it.
It's not worth drawing on the map every time you get one and crossing it off.
Yeah. Unless. Crazy.
Unless.
For Yooka-Laylee, their planned release on the Switch later on this month, they have an update on the way for the game that's going to address a number of gripes people have had with the game, including stuff like being able to skip dialogue faster, skipping cutscenes, reducing the gibberish voices, and updates to the camera.
Shut them all up! The shut-up patch.
I enjoy stuff like Banjo and Yooka-Laylee, but just their gibberish voices. Shut up. Just the fuck up. It
becomes noise for me eventually. Like, it's not, it ends up not being good or bad. It's just, it's noise. It's in the game. But admittedly, it would be nice to just have the option to turn them on and off.
Yeah. And then the last bit of news that I have for the week is the weekly backward compatibility editions for Xbox One. And there have been a lot this week.
Oh, what's up? Well, I did hear Hard Corps Uprising is on that list, which is awesome.
We go in order, Pernell. We start with Tuesday.
So you need to calm down.
You gotta shut this shit down, Pernell.
Shut up. Listen to these backwards compatible news.
On Tuesday, they added Geometry Wars Retro Evolved 2, as well as Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions Evolved.
Nice. Geometry Wars.
So there's another game that is available on Xbox One, but still made backward compatible as well, which is always good to see. And then today, Thursday, Pernell already mentioned Hardcore Uprising.
Thanks.
And then they also added Band of Bugs, Doritos Harm's Way. Yes, another Doritos game.
About damn time. I've been waiting.
That was actually a really decent game.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun.
And easy completion as well for
very CJ. Easy. Yeah, that was my second completion that I ever got.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. And then Bullet Soul and Bullet Soul Infinite Burst. So two nice Japanese shmups, bullet hell shooters. So that is awesome, awesome stuff.
Yeah, I remember when you reviewed Infinite Burst and said that they didn't do an Xbox One release because they were planning on just making it backwards compatible.
Well, I did Bullet Soul. Tim Ecubus is the one who did Infinite Burst.
Ah.
Yeah.
I just remembered something about it not releasing on Xbox One because they wanted to wait and just make it backwards compatible.
Yep, that's what they were doing, and it happened. Latino Heat in the chat is asking what we think about the Friday the 13th video game coming out.
How much does it cost? $40? Really? Man, I thought it was $20. $40 is a bit much, honestly. Especially when Dead by Daylight's coming out the next month.
Well, I mean, the game is good and it's worth $40. I mean, I don't necessarily fault the company for choosing a price on their game before I've played it because they want to put their value in what they created. The question is, how is it going to be once it actually hits the ground?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like Dead by Daylight's pretty much already proven itself. This is a brand new game. And if they're both coming out and Dead by Daylight's releasing cheaper.
Yeah, but in this day and age, people buy multiple games at once. I mean, you don't have to undercut a game when you might just as well get someone to buy them both. Yeah, but
it's two of this pretty much the same game.
Hey, you might want both. You want the experience two times. I mean, it happens. How many first-person shooters have we been playing that involve the military in World War II?
I don't buy those like right next to each other. I wait a little bit on those. It's like I choose the one I want more, and then later, if I'm done with that one, I'll go to the next one.
That still fits the mold. Someone can buy one now and the other one later. I mean, it's still...
By the time I'm going to... See, I was just thinking it was going to be a lot cheaper than it was. Like, I was actually thinking about picking it up, and it's not that I won't now. It's just that I don't know if I will or not, because $40, I don't know if that's worth it for me personally.
If that game comes out and it rates well, you'll jump right on it like a bag of chips.
Well, I'd have to, because that's the only time that people are going to be playing it. Those games die quick.
You never know.
You just answered your own question. Why did they release it at full price? Because people don't play them for that long. I got to be a part of the game, so I'd better pay full price. Get it right now. You'll be there.
I'll wait and see if they do like a pre-order like discount of like $5 or something.
I don't know. If you jumped on the Kickstarter, you could have gotten it for $25 or $30.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking how much it was, but I couldn't afford the Kickstarter at the time because I remember actually looking at the Kickstarter and thinking I wanted to back it, but I couldn't afford to back it at the time.
You'll buy it. I am legitimately curious about them both, though. When they actually hit the ground, they're out and released. I'll look into both and see how I feel about them. But typically, I'm not big on one or the other until it's time to actually be, playable, not preview built.
Well, I've played the beta of Dead by Daylight back when it was first releasing on PC, and I was a fan. So I'm looking forward to that one. Plus, I know people for sure will be buying that because of how popular it was on YouTube and stuff like that.
This is why it's good that you're 18. See, because you're coming in with a whole nother perspective on this shit. You're talking about the YouTube scene.
Watch YouTube.
I don't pay attention to the YouTube scene. I'm like, hey, there's a video. I'm checking it out. That's good. And I walk away. There's no scene. I don't track the scene. It's just a bunch of shows on YouTube. People watch them and they walk the heck away. Like,
just, people don't watch channels and walk away. They stay subscribed so they can keep coming back to watch more videos from that channel.
You're on a pulse that I'm not riding, dude.
I just feel like Dead by Daylight's going to be more popular because of its already established community on a PC.
Okay, but it doesn't have any kind of community on console.
Yeah, but people that have been watching it on PC have been wanting it to come to console.
Yeah, but
those that couldn't play it on PC.
But you also neglect to realize that Friday the 13th is Friday the 13th. It is as old as it is, still a property that people recognize. And while Dead by Daylight has this YouTube scene, Friday the 13th has Jason's involved. Why the fuck not would I want to play?
My point is from somebody that's younger. Like, of course, I actually did watch those when I was younger. But I was kids nowadays haven't been watching that shit.
Yeah, these goddamn kids.
But adults nowadays have jobs and want to buy the game. So
and kids nowadays have adults that have money that want them to buy the game for them.
We've hit a point now where, like, it's not like when we were, like Joe and I were kids, and the parents weren't involved. It was just the young people buying everything. The kids grew up, and they still buy games, many of them like they did when they were kids, if not harder. So
I mean, yeah, I mean, I can agree to that, considering how much I've been spending pretty much every single paycheck on all video games.
Now imagine when you're like 35 and you're making even more money than you make right now. And you need an escape from life. You're going to be buying games like a drug addict. Shoot. That's just how it goes. Like,
I don't know. It all stems from me just not being sure if I want to spend $40 on that game or not.
Pernell, do you want to hear something crazy? Speaking of like kids and ages and stuff.
Sure.
We have known each other only 3 years less than CJ has been alive.
That's actually kind of that's messed up. That's actually very messed up. But it really makes you think, doesn't it? It's like, God, Jesus, CJ. See, you could have been rolling back then.
I didn't want to be rolling back then. From what I've heard, it's not fun.
I was fine, actually. If anything, I'm not going to lie. I mean, this is old man talk. I'm not even going to front. But for all the options and games that people have nowadays, I kind of prefer to how it was. When even though we didn't have a ton of games by comparison,
man, you guys didn't even have the achievements or gamer score back then.
We can actually tell each other what we did, and you can lie to your friends. You can be like, yo, yeah, man,
what's the point in lying?
We didn't need achievements to play a game back then.
Yeah, but achievements just prove that you did something instead of being able to, like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, but there's something about that cock of the walk stride that convinces people you beat Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Says like, yo, come to my house and beat it. I want to watch you do it. You're like, well, I mean, I got other things to do.
But you know, I got things happening here. You know, I gotta go to a thing this weekend, but maybe next weekend.
I knew a guy on the Facebook coffee from dishes, even though I'm at school. Yeah, I gotta go pee.
I mean, yesterday back in grade school, they used to convince everybody he had like multiple copies of Mega Man 3 because he had a hookup. Just bringing them all these copies of games. Like, I could get you one, but I have to see what he can do for me. And he would talk people up for a while about it until eventually people were like, I ain't got time for this. You're clearly lying. But he got away with it for a while, and he was like the coolest kid on the playground because he's got a free copy. He got a copy hookup of Mega Man 3, which at the time was like the hottest damn game out.
Dude, Mega Man 3 was the shit.
Yeah, because he could be like, oh, I got a hookup for Mega Man 10. You go on and things like, how do you have a hookup? You didn't even play it yourself yet. You had no damn achievements in the game. Well, you know.
No, exactly. Nowadays, if you said you had a hookup for Mega Man 10, people would be like, who?
No. You're out of your gourd, dude.
Bullshit. People know who Mega Man is.
Kids don't know who Mega Man is.
Yes, they do.
I'm sorry to tell you, I just bought Mega Man Pixel Tactics today. which kickstarted like a freaking bandit and came out and they're selling out all over the freaking
kids.
And
that know game, who Mighty Number Nine is.
No, clearly you're just insulting kids everywhere.
I just don't believe in kids.
I'm sorry, Mighty Number Nine wasn't an awful game, but it wasn't a great game either. It was like,
I'd say that it wasn't an awful game. So there's something.
I mean, it definitely wasn't freaking Mega Man, and that in itself speaks volumes about the way they had. It's not, you can just plus like, what is it? It's not Mega Man. Well, there you go. I wanted Mega Man, and this game is not it. So I'm walking away.
The reason people still know Mega Man today is a lot because of Smash Brothers.
But that's
Mega Man Legacy Collection. There's some news. Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 has apparently been raided. So it looks like that's going to be a thing that includes Mega Man 7, 8, 9, and 10.
I'm honestly more interested in it because it means 9 and 10 are going to be on an actual cartridge or disc and not just out in the on the Digiverse anymore. So I'd probably grab it for that alone.
Cool.
Yeah.
You guys are like, whatever, Digi, whatevers and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't but even hear what you said. I wasn't paying attention.
You never do, youngin'.
Fucking kids.
Just like the Nintendo news, I zoned out. Once I stopped caring, I'm just gone.
Yeah, fuck the children.
So you guys want to do a giveaway?
Sure.
Because we...
Was that all the news you had?
That's the news I have, yeah.
I don't got anything. Cool. Let's move on then.
Anybody have any other news? Pernell, do you have any news?
Released. Go buy it. There you go.
I never even heard of that until you mentioned it, honestly.
See, that makes it news. See that?
So.
A broad hit.
Actually. Paladins got its actual beta release to the public now on Xbox.
Mm, yeah.
Which is pretty cool, considering how much we love that game.
Very true.
Yeah.
Paladins so is you awesome.
So you both have played it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I completed it. Got all of my achievements. Love that game.
Yeah, Paladins is really cool. So if you have not checked out Paladins yet, it is now in, I guess, open beta or just open release. And it's free to play, so just play it.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing holding you back from playing it now. You don't even need to go to a site to get a code.
But if you like free, we have 3 copies of the game Lost Grimoire Stolen Kingdom to give away. And we have 5 emails sent to us, so we're about to make 2 people sad.
Yeah.
Those poor chumps.
No.
y'all ready to pick some winners here?
Yeah, I'm ready to pick some losers.
All right.
That's not how this works.
Who's gonna lose? Should we just, like, pick by names?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. First email is from Souza, our good friend Souza, who writes in and says he wants the game because long time I don't win here. I don't have any idea what to write. A lot of failed attempts lately. I can say I like Artifacts Mundi games, good puzzles, easy achievements, cool story, always simple and fun.
Failure at life. Cool. Next.
Long time don't win here.
Great grammar skills.
Next email is from Latin Ruler, who says, I've always been a huge fan of point-and-click games. This particular game brings magic mystery and the ability to use alchemy in the game. Using wizardly powers to perfect things is a challenge I'm ready to take on, if allowed.
Man, these guys are writing some pretty elaborate letters for the contest. I'm using it because, like, why do you want the game? Because it'll be free? Gimme.
See, but those are the ones we don't give.
But you should, really because funny. I'm honest and straight to the point. Gimme because it's free. I'm broke. Gimme a game.
See, we like when people give us unique, entertaining answers.
That's entertaining. I'm broke. Exactly.
That was gimme shit.
Gimme.
If you don't give me, I'm going to sue your soap.
Next email is from Lucky Cal, who says, we would like to win Lost Grimoire Stolen Kingdom by Artifacts Mundi because we own a lot of their games, and my son even gave up some Easter eggs to be bought the triple pack that was on sale at Easter instead of chocolate.
Wow.
Right. Pretty cool.
Son, that should be the winner right there. Game of instead of Easter eggs.
Those are tasty. I've heard stories. That kid should get it.
Next email from Aroto Tomato, who says, my first cat name was King. My granny had a dog named Don. Granny really likes The Godfather and the actor Marlon the Brandon.
Or Don King.
They didn't get stolen, so I can't make a funny joke pun. That being said, the fact that their names were King and Don kind of tells you something. King Don. I just got through the Full Throttle, and now I'm looking for the next Click Everything game on the menu. Help a guy out, will ya? There you go. There you go, yeah. Pinnell. That's your kind of entry. And yes, you might be wondering why King? What's the lore? Well, like Dark Souls, you got to read the item description. And if you do, you will find out it's because King is my main when I play Tekken, and he kind of looks like a cat, but not really because he's a tiger. But I said, ah, fuck it. Man, can't wait for Tekken 7.
But that's a lengthy email that went all over the place. He was trying to get a story told.
It was an interesting one. Didn't expect all that.
And final email from, this is a fantastic name, Crumb Donut.
It did.
Who says, hi, I'd really love to win the copy of Lost Grimoire Stolen Kingdom for Xbox One because puzzle/hidden object games are one of my favorite things. I've spent countless hours, mostly on PC, playing the genre, and they don't even need to have a storyline like Pictureka. I just recently got the Xbox One. Please help feed it a game. Thank you for the chance.
God, I like that one because new Xbox One needs games.
So, we got 5 emails and 3 codes.
This is really hard because I actually liked all of them. I really liked Lucky Cal, so.
Pernell, do you have any thoughts?
The guy that said, help a brother out, and the kid who didn't buy Easter eggs.
So it looks like Lucky Cal gets one.
I'm all right with the Roto as well.
Okay, a Roto gets one, and then we have one more copy to split between Latin Ruler, Sousa, and Crumb.
God, I feel for Crumb. Needs new Xbox One games, man. Everybody does.
But then again, the guy that was like, I never win.
Well, Sousa, shut up. He actually wins giveaways on Twitter all the time. He might not win them all the time here, but he wins them constantly. However, Latin is in the stream with us. That's something to consider. Like, he's watching live.
That means he can curse you out live if he doesn't win.
Well, I'm a fan of Crumb Donut because they're a new owner, and that's a hilarious name. Lucky Cal, everyone's a fan of his. So I know, Pernell, you liked Erodos. CJ, you liked Erodos. You guys are going to have to choose between Erodo and Latin Ruler.
Well... I'm all right with Erodo. That was his choice. We can all choose one. My main choice was Lucky Cal.
All right, I'll go with Erodo too.
Sorry, Latin. Maybe next time.
So Lucky Cal, Erodo, and Crumb Donut are our 3 winners.
Crumb Donut.
Crumb Donut.
Don't.
Thank you to everyone for the entries. Sorry if you didn't win. We have plenty more giveaways to come. And we've got the Disney Afternoon Collection and Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap, both up on Gleam right now. So if you have not...
CJ doesn't get.
If you have not checked out our Gleam giveaways yet, do that. Because we just gave away 2 copies of Voodoo Vince. And the winners there... Let me see where the winners are.
I feel like Pernell just insulted me, but I didn't hear what he said.
He might have.
Just a tad.
I forgot to pull up the window. Compagno D and Julian S were our 2 winners of Voodoo Vince Remastered on Steam. And if Julian sounds familiar, it's because he is familiar. He's actually the guy who won Trulon the Shadow Engine as well.
Wow, fucking luck.
So, random draws on Gleam, we already have a 2-time winner.
And that's only, like, what, the third Gilliam? Yeah.
Third giveaway, and we have somebody who's won twice.
So, clearly, that man is a lucky gent.
If you don't want Julian to keep winning these games, you're going to have to make sure to jump on our Twitter, at the SML Podcast, look for our tweets mentioning the Gleam giveaways, and get as many entries as you can.
I want to go on a lucky streak now. I want him to see how far it can go.
Imagine if he wins every game for the next year.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh, my God!
Just rolling in games. Win more than fucking Nikki, baby, when she won the 200 contest.
Oh, God. That was nuts.
Lucky I was with Gleam.
But Disney Afternoon Collection contest ends this Sunday. So hurry up and get your entries in. And then Wonder Boy ends next Sunday. So you still have time on that one.
Spoiler alert, Wonder Boy is good.
It is. Jumbo. It is very good.
Wonder Boy!
What is the secret of your power?
Dragon curses. That's what the secret is.
Oh, man. Anyway, we have a bunch of reviews to take care of. Are you guys ready to jump in our reviews?
Hell yeah.
Well, we're going to kick things off with a game called Bit Dungeon Plus, developed by Kinto Games, published by Dolores Entertainment. It released May 5th on Xbox One for $6.99. You and your beloved friend were captured by demons. You wake up what seems like hours, maybe even days later, trapped in a prison cell, and your friend is missing. You find a sword in your cell and vow revenge against the beast who took your friend. The quest to find your friend, one, and destroy the demons begins.
Wow, that's more elaborate of a plot than I thought it had.
I know. I didn't realize there was a plot.
Man stabs shit. There it is. There's your game.
I've poured a ton of time into this. Purnell, did you get any time with this one?
Little bit of it. Enough just to kind of get a little gleam for how it works. And I actually think it's a pretty cool game. It's very simple, but it's reminiscent of classic Zelda-style dungeons without the dungeon items, mind you.
I was thinking this game kind of looked, or the boss fights at least, remind me a lot of Binding of Isaac. Is it actually similar gameplay-wise?
It kind of. Then again, Binding of Isaac is a lot like the classic Zelda dungeons. So
yeah,
I guess. If we're getting down to it, this game is basically randomized Zelda dungeons.
Yep,
after like the dungeon after dungeon.
Yeah, it's like it's on one hand, like the downside, like it doesn't have like dungeon items like Zelda would have, but as far as like just the action of like slaughtering monsters and getting keys to open doors and the like, you got that in spades. Really, the only detriment, and this isn't even a detriment to other people that I can think of, is that there's no real inventory system. It's just you grab a thing and you have it. And because, of course, like you can't, say for example, you can't like equip different gears. Just you find it and it's yours. You can't like hoard it, which a lot of people probably don't care because it means that you can just keep moving through and mowing stuff down. More time for action, less time for inventory management.
I mean, there is a pseudo inventory management, I guess. Like you don't have an actual inventory, but when you kill enemies or destroy, you know, boxes or whatever crates are around the room, there's a chance a chest will drop. And when you clear the room, you can open the chests and they'll have, you know, either swords or armors or whatever. And when you go up to it, it'll show you a comparison of that item compared to what you have equipped. And that's about as management as it gets.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though, which I think is good. It's just for some, it'll be like, yeah, that's awesome, because that just means you can see a thing, nah, it's not as good, I'm gonna leave it, and just keep going back to the hack and slash aspect of it.
Unfortunately, there's no way to, like, collect those things and sell them for money, but, you know, what are you gonna do? You do earn money by killing monsters. There is a shop, one per floor. I think the bummer with the shop is if you run into it early, you only get one shot in there, and once you leave, it seals up.
Yeah, so basically you just gotta carry the money down for the next floor or whatnot if you need to. Though, I mean, at the same time, that's just part of the luck of the draw of the roguelike theme, so to speak.
Go ahead.
I do wish that the base weapon had more of a reach to it, but because like it seems like all the enemies pretty much have like decent distance to them aside from using magic. It's like, meh. It takes me back to like possible mail gun sword distances that you should get in that game.
Or like the original Zelda.
I think Zelda got more of a reach than this sword gets, but I can see what you mean. Like, it's probably still more meant to be an homage to the idea.
At least in this game, like, your sword isn't just a straight thrust. It has an arc to it, a swipe. Unlike That's Zelda, true. Where it was just a straight thrust. So you don't have to worry about being completely head-on with an enemy. I think it's a really enjoyable game, though. It's not super, super deep. Like, you're not going to have a massive campaign to this or anything, but I was really addicted to just trying to get further through, see what different unlocks you can get or what different equipment you could get. I did have an issue with some of the stats in the game. Like, there, after you accomplish certain, I have no idea what, in the game, you can unlock like a starting bonus of like extra damage or critical chance, stuff like that. And I found those to really screw up the stats in the game. Like, I would get a weapon and I would have like a really high critical chance, but my critical hits would do less damage than a standard attack.
Really, now, that is bizarre. Like, I never experienced that, but it is freaking weird as a dickens. Like, it kind of defeats the purpose of critting anything.
I don't know if those bonuses fuck with the stats or something, or if there was some kind of, like, math issue that might be patched. It was really weird, because one item I would have, and it would do jack shit for criticals, and then I pick up something else that is theoretically weaker, but my critical hits would be like 300 damage. I had no idea what. And if I would swap items, like if I would just pick up a different helmet or something, it could fuck up my weapon damage.
That is really weird. I mean,
seriously don't understand what the math issues in there were, but if you got something that worked really well, you didn't have to fuck with anything else for a while.
Like, you were good. Like, I didn't even notice anything like that, but I could see how that would make, like, maybe there's some kind of like weird like combination of things that happens. Like, maybe there's like a weird like combination based on like the types of items you have together.
It's possible. Like that. It is possible, but I have no idea. It even with that weirdness, it's still just a ridiculously fun, enjoyable, addictive dungeon crawler.
Yeah, like you said earlier, it's not super super deep, but it's also super super cheap. So
yeah, only $6.99. I will say achievement hunters probably want to avoid this one.
What, does it have weird scores?
No, it's just very, very, very grindy.
Oh. Well, at least I don't know if I'd prefer grindy or difficult. It's like, it's a hard choice.
I mean, if you're an achievement hunter in a vein that I'm used to you guys talking about, I'm wagering that you don't want either of those things.
No, achievement hunting just means you want to get all the achievements. It's like, some people will only do easy games, but then there's people like me that have done 200 plus hour games.
No. Yeah. I don't know. It
depends on the mood you're in at the time.
Even still, for $7, I got to give it a buy it, because I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it, and I think it's worth picking up for how cheap it is.
So I guess you guys don't feel the same way that Steam did.
No, I know it's gotten a lot of negative reviews out there, and I can understand why, because it's not a very deep game, but it clicked with me, and the beauty of reviews is that they are based on opinion, and I really fucking enjoyed the game, so I'm personally going to give it a buy it.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I would say definitely a buy it on a contingent of just if you want a quick pick-up and play Zelda-esque stabby game, like classic Zelda stabby game. And by classic, I also mean just like dungeon only, none of the other, you know, dungeon tools and exploration. Just I'm digging through this dungeon, killing stuff, getting keys and getting items. That's about it.
I think something that helps is the fact that it is only $7. Like, if this was $10 or higher, I could easily see people like, not really worth it. But $7, I think it's worth the $7.
And who's to say it won't even go on sale for even less than that at some point? So, I mean, it's a good game. It's decent.
Very true. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Planet Base, developed and published by Madruga Works Limited. It released May 3rd on Xbox One for $19.99. Guide a group of space settlers trying to establish a base on a remote planet. grow food, collect energy, mine resources, survive disasters, and build a self-sufficient colony in a harsh and unforgiving environment. Purnell, you covered this one. What did you think of Planet Base?
I believe that if you have decision paralysis, like me, this is definitely going to be a game that will challenge you. Not in a bad way, mind you, just more in a, I have a planet, I'm going to start development, and then I'm going to stop and restart because I did one thing I didn't like, and then do it again. But what they do provide you with to do that development and construction is actually pretty freaking sweet. They use a ring system to help you deal with actually selecting items and build, and like actually select items and construct, which is good for a console release because that means you have to deal with a mouse, which, let's be honest, we don't actually have access to. But the game itself is just like Joe had to mention. It's the idea of, like, basically you land on the planet. They give you a very base level of resource. Like, basically, here's a bunch of people. It's usually like 7 to 10 people. It's like, okay, base people, base resources, get started. And then you have to essentially get cracking on getting them a setup where they can actually not die within like 20 minutes or so because they, whoa, guitar.
As my mic stand, the spring on my mic stand again. But like, I don't know why it does like, that.
Sounds because like a guitar.
It wants to rock! But like, it basically starts out with you landing with the people, and it's like, okay, we got to get these guys a livable environment before they die with the oxygenists in their current suits. So they pretty much get you started on that in earnest. And I'm going to say flat out, this game is intricate as far as like the things you can build and how they relate to each other. Like, it starts out with you need an airlock because you need oxygen to get people, you know, or you need basically, I'm sorry, not an airlock. You need an oxygen generator to actually generate oxygen for these cats to breathe, which then lays dominoes to the oxygen generator needs electricity and water to run. So you have to set those two positions up and then join them together. And then it just goes on and on to the point where eventually you have to construct, like you need to actually get minerals. So you have to drill, you have to build a mine to collect the minerals, but then you need to actually have a refinery within a biolab to get that together. So it's not just building the biolab or building the refinery. You have to build the actual type of refining station within the lab, which I'm not sure if you get where I'm going with this, but in a lot of sim games like this, it's usually just build the facility and it does the job. You're good to go.
I just love that your review is, I don't know where I'm going with this.
It really, honestly, I genuinely don't. It's not in a bad way. It's just they give you a lot to work with here. And it all dominoes over you. Like, you'll ultimately, if you get into this game and you really enjoy it, you're going to find yourself with a large piece of paper and a flowchart where you design and tell yourself, I need to get it to this point down the road. But to get there, I need to get to the point where I actually have the oxygen unit. I need to have solar panels set up. I need to have water generator set up. Okay, now that I got that set up, I got to have the airlock set up, which will then lead into the cantina, which cantina is going to have a television set and two tables, not one, because people don't like to sit together. And then you got to have the meal producer, which will lead to the bunk room where people can sleep. And you got to have enough beds for your people too, because if you don't have enough beds, well, that causes problems. It's like, it's just, there's so freaking much customization. And it's awesome that they did that. Like, it's good customization. Again, decision paralysis, on the other hand, will muck you the hell up. You don't know what the fuck to do.
From what I've heard, if you make one mistake, it's really easy to kill off your entire base.
It is, because like, for example, let's say you design, like, I mean, when I play like sim games, as bad as I am at them, I'm always like, okay, everything has to be in its own specific spot. So I want to have the oxygen generators over here, and the water generators over here, and the solar panels over here. And then they all get connected by, like, this is called relationship chains, link chains. Link them together and say, okay, this is the path of transference for your resources. One bad storm comes in, it shuts that whole thing down. Your entire base, if that's all you're relying on, you can pretty much kill everybody, like, immediately. It's not as simple as, well, just go build some more, because now you got a fucking time factor involved. You need freaking oxygen. This isn't, oh, we don't have any electricity for a little while. We won't have TV for a bit, or the furnace doesn't work. Just go fix it. No, this is, I can't fucking breathe. We are dying. Like, it's that simple. So it really misharps early on that you have to really be smart about redundancy. You have to be able to keep the main resources running at all freaking costs. It is a very intricate game.
And so it's not a casual friendly sim game, basically.
No.
I say not so much, but that doesn't mean casual shouldn't play it, because it's also kind of a no frillish thing too, because when you start out, there's multiple planets, and the way it starts is like the very first planet, it's very light on issues. Like, you can pretty much drop on there, and aside from, like, you know, the occasional like sandstorm that flows through, you're kind of chilling. Like, you can just build your stuff out and have low chance of things that can really shut your base down happening. And what happens with the game is they have like milestones you can be like, basically you pull off certain in-game achievements. And the more of those you hit, the more planets you can unlock. And each of those planets have harsher conditions, to the point where eventually you're pretty much on expert mode.
Yeah, but, your base can be hit by a meteor.
Yeah, but let's be honest here. If you're a casual, you'll probably never see those planets, so you don't give a crap. And people who are looking to push the envelope of killing their astronauts off in like a dire stream of like dinosaur-crushing meteor storms, well, they'll be there, and they'll be ready for it. So I think even though it's an unforgiving game when you genuinely screw up, they ease you into scenarios that will genuinely screw you up. So it's not as bad as it seems. And they also have a challenge mode for that kind of thing too, if you want to kind of build up your skill level to say, I can work on this. I can do these challenges to figure out what sort of scenarios I'm going to be dealing with as I try to build up what they want me to do to accomplish the achievements or the challenge requirements and goals. One thing I did experience, which I'm not sure if it was just like a temporary thing or what caused it, because it didn't happen for me when I played around with it today, but previous sessions of the game, which is probably because of how early I was in before resetting constantly, is that there was an option called the grid system. Like, you can check a grid, which will kind of give you a detailed analysis on certain aspects of your base. But whenever I would pick it, the game would crash. Like, it would just flat out crash.
Weird. Yeah.
Like, it hasn't been happening today, but like the previous few times I was playing the game, yeah. But that was also because I was like testing. It was, you know, when you start a game off for the first time, you're like, okay, I want to see what everything does.
No.
Like, I just did it right now, sitting in my game playing it. Tried to power grid. It crashed.
So, do you know if update hit between when you first played and today?
Well, that's the problem, though. That wouldn't even be the reason anymore, because while it didn't happen earlier when I played it, I had the game sitting here right now.
Yeah, he just said that he literally just did it.
Just crashed. So I don't know what triggers it. Like, I'm not sure what's happening behind the scenes that is happening when the grid is selected. Like, maybe you have to have the game up for a certain amount of time before you select grid. I don't know.
Maybe you have to start playing and then you can go back.
Yeah, like maybe give it some time in running, like not when the world's regenerating from your save file or something like that. Maybe it wasn't enough stuff happening on the game at that time for the grid to actually have data to populate it. Who knows? Something like that. But it did happen, so just something to put out there. But that's the only detriment that I had as far as playing the game went. They have a pretty detailed tutorial to kind of get you started. If you're like, I don't know what to do, this game is weird. if you're that kind of player, they have a very detailed tutorial to get you started. So it's easy to get into it. And then you can go to your easy accessible planet and with this nasty-ass red Mars rocks. And just start having fun with it. Dig around, kill your astronauts off, don't give them oxygen, just see how it happens. Like, but I genuinely do feel as though if you get into this game, there's no question, you will have a map. Like, remember the days of like before, I'm not sure if you guys were into StarCraft at any point back when it first came. But when StarCraft first came out and you got really competitive in it, there was a point where you're like, okay, I know what units are required at a certain point in the game to succeed. So you already knew there was a flow of things you had to get done. Boom to boom to boom to boom to boom. In some cases, you probably had it on paper. Like, where you said, get this started, and you would run up to it. That's this game to like the 11th power. Because there's a lot more things you can build, a lot more components to those things you can build.
And which is just one of those games where it's good to have a notepad on hand.
Exactly. Just to kind of draft up notes of things you need to understand and things you need to be prepared for. And I think if you can get that out of the way, oh yeah, it's definitely an accessible game. It's awesome. I definitely, if you're into sim construction and you like outer space and things of that nature, like there was this one game that a friend of mine was playing that was, I don't even remember what the heck it was called, but it was like an Xbox Live, Xbox One beta game where you could explore like foreign
planets. Everspace?
I don't think it was called Everspace.
Elite Dangerous?
Also, but, yeah, that was the other one I was thinking.
Maybe that was it. But like you basically like explored the planet surface and found resources and stuff of that nature. You could, like, you basically just explored a planet and built out on it. If you enjoy,
okay, no, like that's that, not that. No, Astroneer.
There it is. That's the stuff. Yeah, Astroneer. If you enjoy stuff like that, but you want it from a more of a sim perspective, this is your game. Like this game is very well. I think even with the glitch thing I mentioned earlier, it's a very well polished game. It is nice. It actually even exudes personality. Like it's kind of cool. Like you set up the break rooms, like the cantina, and you put some tables and chairs and stuff down. And you want to zoom in. You can take the lid. You can remove the top. You're just kind of zooming in.
Oh my god! I didn't realize it doesn't stop.
What was that? Oh, that was your timer.
That was the timer.
Oh well, shit! Buy this game. There you go.
So for $20. Oh my god! I didn't realize it just kept going.
it's like an echo of remembrance. Like god damn it! Like just remembering a bad thing you did. Like it takes me back to yesterday. God damn it!
Our William Reyes has gone off. So.
I think it's a great game, and I highly recommend it as a purchase for people who like Sims, like space exploration, like spacey Sims. Shit, just buy the game. It's cool.
Sounds good. All right.
So buy it then?
Oh, it's definitely a buy.
All right. Cool.
Pick that shit up.
Well, then, I guess I will.
All right. So, next games to talk about. We have two more of the ACA Neo Geo games to go over quick. First up is Samurai Showdown, developed and published by Hamster, released May 2nd on Xbox One for $7.99. Yes, on a Tuesday. It looks like they're moving those to Tuesday instead of Thursday. Samurai Showdown is a fighting game that was originally released by SNK in 1993. It features 12 sword masters, each with their own unique personality. They will battle it out amongst each other before taking on the final boss in the game's climax. One of the unique characteristics of the game is the rage gauge, which fills up as the player takes damage. Once that gauge is full, the character's attacks do more damage, keeping the battles tense and exciting. I did review this one on the Switch a little bit ago, so I just want to do a quick refresher on this one. One of the things I enjoyed about this game is that, unlike a lot of the ACA fighting games, this one was not ridiculously difficult, which is a positive thing. And I also enjoyed the fact that this was bloodier than I remembered as a kid.
Well, that'll do it.
Like your sword strikes do, like, you know, there's blood splashes, and it's not anything like super over the top like Mortal Kombat, but it's definitely not Street Fighter levels of tame. So Bean, please don't eat the microphone, you goofy ass cat. My cat Beanie Beam. She's so
you want weird. You to know.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Samurai Showdown when we covered it on the Switch, and it's still fun as hell on the Xbox One. The achievements are not too ridiculously difficult because, again, it's not unnecessarily brutally hard like a lot of the fighting games. So for $8, I'm going to give this one a try. If you're looking for a good classic fighting game, this is definitely one to check out, and it will not drive you completely crazy.
Unless...
I love that you keep specifying, like, it's not insanely hard. It's
seriously, still... like, some of those other Neo Geo fighting games are just mean. Like,
it's an important thing to specify.
Pernell, you played some of them. You know how fucking hard some of those are.
Yeah, they're designed to take your quarters, but the only difference being is that this isn't the arcade anymore. Turn that shit down.
Yeah, this one lets you get a couple of guys in before you have to start continuing. It doesn't beat you down on the first guy.
It's like you thought you were awesome, but it was me, you. That doesn't even make sense. But the point is,
what you're trying to say.
I don't either. No, but really, it just boils down to the fact that I feel as though challenge. I'm typically a huge fan of challenging games. That's not even a question. But by that same token, there comes a point where you kind of just have to just give it up. Like, give me the opportunity to enjoy the game before you punish me for playing it.
Yeah, you want the challenge to be fair. Like, hard, exactly, but fair. When it comes down to just reading your inputs and cheesing you, that's, you know, that's not fun.
It's just freaking frustrating. And who the hell's got time for that?
Yeah.
That guy. But not me.
Anyway, the other ACA Neo Geo game is called Alpha Mission 2, again developed and published by Hamster. This one released April 28th on Xbox One for $7.99. Alpha Mission 2 is a shooting game released by SNK in 1991. The game is a fan favorite in the genre and features unique gameplay, allowing players to collect and upgrade armor power-ups and switch them out on the fly. This is the second entry in the series, adds a wealth of new flashy armor power-ups, expanding on the tactical and exciting gameplay the series is known for. This one was really cool. It's a vertical shooter, kind of in the vein of like Ikaruga or Bullet Soul that we mentioned earlier. And the unique twist here is that you can pick up different armor abilities, and when you have a full set, you hit the one button and you could switch to equip it. Clearly, it's not unlimited, so when you get damage, a little gauge on the side goes down. You can pick up energy pickups to refresh the armor, but it's basically like a super-powered mode. And a lot of the later stages in the game, if you don't have armor, you're not going to make it that far through, because, you know, it's an arcade game. It's designed to kick your ass. I enjoy how many different armor suits are in the game. Each one has different abilities, like one is laser, one has homing shots, one is just like super, super damage resistant. Just a lot of different ways to change up the game. In between stages, you could use gold that you picked up or money that you picked up through the stage to buy a new set to have ready for the next stage, which is helpful. You know, if you make it through a stage.
Good luck.
It's a really fun game. I'm a fan of shmups. I'm glad that this one came to the Xbox One. It is not, it's definitely not a bullet hell. So it's not going to be like Ikaruga where you need to have pinpoint precision to get through things. But it's challenging enough to keep you on your toes and playing. For $7.99 for $8, I think this one's worth a buy.
Mm, okay.
And then Latina Heat was asking what the title that Purnell mentioned that you recommended was. Planet Base.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely recommend Planet Base.
Gotta keep up with
Latina
things
Heat. If you like heat in space, make it happen. You will not regret it.
Next game to talk about, this might be the longest review of the day, is, yeah, Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, developed and published by CI Games. It released April 25th on Xbox One and PS4 for $59.99. on Steam for $49.99. Go behind enemy lines with the ultimate modern military shooter. Plays an American sniper dropped in Georgia near the Russian border. The country Georgia, not the state. You choose your own path to accomplish your missions across an unforgiving open world. CJ, you are out of your funk somewhat, and you dove into Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. It hasn't gotten the greatest reviews out there, but what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, I honestly, the worst part about this is the fact that I know that they're two different games, but for some reason, whenever I say Sniper, I want to follow it up with Elite. And so that's the hardest thing for me, saying Sniper Ghost Warrior instead of Elite. Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, if you didn't know, is a first-person stealth shooter where, you guessed it, your primary weapon is a sniper rifle.
What?
Yeah, I know, mind-boggling, right? The gameplay in this game is incredibly fun. I love sneaking my way through enemy outposts, taking out each enemy who happened to cross my scope. The enemy placement in this game works very well for taking out an entire enemy base from a distance, since usually they aren't all grouped together very closely. That allows you to take out each enemy slowly and not have all the enemies alerted. However, from time to time there will be enemies grouped up, and normally you can find a position that will line them all up for a double or triple kill with a single bullet. Which, nice, is one of the most satisfying things ever.
Sounds like it.
sometimes you'll have to take the fight into a close quarter situation, like being inside of a building where your sniper rifle isn't very useful. This is where you should switch to your sidearm. A silenced pistol is just as powerful as a sniper rifle at a close range, as long as you aim for the head, of course. If you get a body shot, a silenced pistol isn't going to do anything compared to a sniper rifle. It would probably still kill you. If the enemies ever do get alerted, you can also switch to your secondary weapon, which can be like a shotgun or an assault rifle, and take them out that way. While stealth is your friend in this game, it doesn't have to be. You can play this game the way you want. You can be a sniper or play like a ghost, or perhaps if you're more interested, you could be a warrior. That's the thing.
Oh, fuck you. Okay.
Those are the three skill trees in this game. You gain XP to upgrade things while doing things that are specific to that category. You gain XP in the sniper category by sniping. You get XP per kill, as well as more XP for getting headshots or kills over 200 meters or multiple kills with one bullet. And then you can gain ghost XP by getting kills with your sidearm, headshots with it, and completing objectives without being spotted or having the enemies alerted. And you gain warrior XP by getting kills with your secondary, headshots with it, clearing outposts, and getting consecutive kills quickly. With this XP, you can gain awesome perks that help with each field, like being able to hold your breath 50% longer when trying to make a shot, or being able to carry another clip for the assault rifle, or even being able to see the enemy's sniper lines of sight while in scout mode. To help you clear out bases, you can use one of the most powerful tools in the game, your drone, which can spot enemies, lure and distract them, and even hack enemy mines to disable them. When you mark an enemy, they stay marked on your screen and minimap, so you can keep track of them when pretty much anywhere. This just helps clear out the base, because it would be much harder if you had to actually sneak around and hope that their enemies aren't behind you and just spotting you or something like that. Like, this allows you to keep them all just in check, be able to tell where everybody is, no surprises, that kind of deal. The sniping in this game seems very realistic, or is it at least as realistic as I can tell, as obviously I've never actually shot one before. Like,
what, really? No?
Yeah, no. The most powerful gun I've ever shot was like a 22. You have to change the distance dial to match as closely as possible with your target, and you have to adjust your shot for wind and bullet drop. Luckily, if you're playing on normal, when you hold your breath, you get a small circle telling you where to actually aim your gun so that you can hit the shot you want. I can't imagine trying to play the game on a harder difficulty without that indicator. Like, that would be very difficult. The storyline is easy to follow, but feels very predictable. There is also some awkward love story that's going on, and I won't say more about it, but it's just like, it wasn't necessary. It just felt weird. There was one cutscene in particular that just felt like they were yelling at each other, and it just felt like you were a little kid watching your parents argue, and it was just really weird and awkward. And even though you're playing as that character, it was just like, ugh.
Daddy hit mommy again.
It seems really odd, and like, it didn't need to be put in the game, but they wanted to make it more interesting, I guess. It did manage to hold my attention, though, and I do enjoy the missions. The mission variety is very surprising for a game like this. You wouldn't expect to have so many different missions, considering your main goal is just snipe.
Yeah.
And besides the main missions, there are also other things to do in the game, like little events on the map that ask you to save civilians that soldiers have taken hostage, or kill most wanted targets. There are also side missions, and they're just more creative and fun missions that differ from each other, so it's just like, mission variety in this game is absolutely insane. But with all great things comes the bad. The graphics don't look like a AAA game from 2017. They look like this game honestly looks like it came out in like 2013, at least on Xbox One, which I think is mainly the case. I think on PC it looks a lot better, but from what I've heard, the Cry engine is what's holding it back. Mm-hmm. I don't really know too much about engines to claim that myself, but from everybody I've talked to who have also played the game, they say it's mainly to do with the Cry engine. Aside from that, there are also a lot of texture pop in while driving, and sometimes enemies just disappear when killed. There's also a slow-mo bullet cam that happens when you get a headshot while out of combat, which is comparable to Sniper Elite without the X-ray vision. But whenever you do that to an enemy that is leaning on a railing, they just seem to pop out of the leaning pose and into, like, a standing position. And it isn't, like, subtle or anything. It's just, like, they just immediately, they're standing and holding their gun. And it's just weird. And it's like you can just see them do it. So it's not like it's even hidden behind the bullet or something in bullet cam. There are also some of the longest loading times I've ever had to deal with. They take enough time to let the main music, the main menu music loop. It's literally about 3 minutes, which is pretty long. But once you get into the game, you don't have to deal with another loading screen for a few hours as long as you're not traveling back and forth between maps. And aside from the shorter ones that you get when you die and need to respawn or a cutscene is about to play, my guess is that it loads the entire everything that it needs for one section of the map. So it takes a long time to load all that, but once you do, you don't have to deal with it for a while.
Yeah.
There are also a couple of random bugs, like sometimes you can just get stuck and the only way to fix it is to die and reload the game.
That sucks.
Yeah. Also, sometimes the enemies seem to get way better at hearing out of nowhere. And all become alerted because they heard someone die. The only reason I was able to determine that this was like a glitch and not just me being meh is that I had to replay the same part of a mission about 6 times because I kept just things were not working out in that mission and it was frustrating me. But I'd always kill all the enemies in the same way. And one time I killed the enemy which was a decent distance away, and yet everybody became alerted almost immediately without even checking the body. There was also a bug which wouldn't let me search the body of anything I killed, whether it be enemy soldiers or even animals. And yet you can search animals in this game. That's part of the crafting system, which there is a crafting system, but it's not really that useful when you can buy all the bullets or craft them. And it's like, it's just so much easier to buy the bullets.
How'd you make your bullets?
Cheapskate.
Out of deer fur and twigs.
I really did like this game, but it has its issues that hold it back from being a great game. I'm not sure if it's worth the $60, but I don't think I'd be mad if I had paid that much for it, so take that as you will, and it's up to you if you want to spend that much. From just how much fun I had with the gameplay, I have to give it a recommended try it, but that's about it.
Now, they're clearly going to work on patches for this game, obviously.
Because
yes. It's one of their tentpole titles. They know that they've gotten a lot of backlash and feedback based on issues people have had with the games. What do you think they can do to patch this to make it better? And clearly you can't look at, you know, be unreasonable of like, oh, they could patch in a brand new graphics engine. Like, that's clearly not going to happen.
That's never going to get fixed. Like, there's always going to be the texture pop in. There's always going to be just the low quality, even on Xbox One. Like, even another game, I believe Rise Son of Rome used the CryEngine as well because it's by Crytek. And
that one looked incredible.
Yeah, it looked better than this.
But what can they patch to improve this game?
If they can find a way to make the loading times a little bit better to deal with, that would be nice. Aside from that, just the little bugs, like for some reason being able to get stuck would be a nice thing to fix. Like, if I couldn't get stuck on just small things on the world, that'd be great. And if they fix the bug that caused everybody to just become alerted out of nowhere, which really shouldn't have happened, I mean, there's nothing that they can really patch to make it that much better, considering a lot of problems come from the engine.
Yeah.
And they can't change the cringeworthy story, which, while was interesting, is very predictable. And I don't mind predictability too much, but when it starts to get to the point to where you're cringing. In fact, before, I had actually looked it up while we were talking earlier about the news, because I wanted to see where the voice actors were from. Turns out that they actually were Russian voice actors. It sounded like the most exaggerated fake accents ever.
Interesting.
But they actually were, well, Bulgaria, but close enough. At least one of them. But Raquel in the game, that accent sounds so fake. And yet it turns out that the person's actually from there. So... I guess it's just a very strong accent.
If Destiny has proved anything, you can patch out voice acting.
Yeah, that's true. But don't do that. That's mean. Yeah. Like, I, especially when it turns out that the new voice actor isn't as good.
What, in Destiny?
Yeah, I found.
Are you really going to shit on Nolan North?
No, I'm not going to shit on him. I'm going to shit on the job, though. Because Destiny didn't give him very good scripts.
I will admit, though, for the little bit of Destiny that I did play, I did prefer, even though I had nothing against Nolan North, I did prefer the original
the Dinklebot
thing. Yeah, I did prefer that voice. Bottom. He was so sophisticated.
Yeah, and that wizard came from the moon. Which is a callback.
Like, fucking Dinklebot. Because
we also talked it in the morning.
Morning? What?
I don't know.
The aliens are on their way. If you don't get out of here soon, you might die. Quick, drink this spot of tea, and then we'll think about the next move.
Cheerio.
No, but...
Yeah, Sniper sounds good if you're willing to overlook the well-known hitches and issues that are there. Because the game, it sounds like the gameplay is still good.
Yeah, the stealth aspect of the game is something that I really enjoy. This... Okay, to make a small comparison to Sniper Elite 3, or not really comparison, but to kind of differentiate the two, Sniper Elite seems to be a game that is, you can play it a lot more action-like and not be killed immediately. Like, I said earlier that you could play it like a warrior, and you can in this game, but you don't have enough health to really sustain that for very long. Mm. You will get destroyed if you try to take an entire enemy base. Even on normal, and there is no easy difficulty. It's just normal and then higher. Achievement-wise, they were really nice, though. They didn't make you play on any higher difficulties. They were just like, normal's good enough.
No, that's good. Speaking of tough achievement games, next game to talk about is called Elliot Quest, developed by Ansem of Games, published by Play Everywhere. Released May 9th on PlayStation 4, May 11th on 3DS, May 12th on Xbox One for $14.99. Elliot Quest is an adventure RPG where players explore the mysterious Urel Island in search of an ancient demon. With 5 dungeons to conquer, 16 bosses to defeat, and countless treasures to discover and hidden areas, well-balanced gameplay, easy to pick up, but challenging to master. This game reminds me so very much of Zelda 2.
There's a lot of Zelda games this week, huh?
Definitely not a bad thing, though. Zelda 2 was my baby. As hard as that game was, I liked it a lot more than people gave it credit for.
What? That's 3 Zelda-like games now. Fucking Dungeons. Zelda Elliot Quest 2. And Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, all Zelda-like games?
Exactly like that, yeah.
Planet Base is like Zelda in space with nothing about Zelda. Now, this game is very, very much like Zelda 2, like the classic 2D platforming action game. It's really, really good, but it has a lot of issues from like the early NES days. The game has very, very little hand-holding. And it's not even that it doesn't have hand-holding. It's just there's a lot of aimless wandering, like, where the fuck do I go? What do I do? Going to areas, realizing, oh, I can't come here yet, after you're a couple of screens in, having to backtrack out. There is so much needless backtracking in this game that it gets kind of frustrating when you just want to get to an area that, you know, a new area. Like, earlier today, I felt like I was just completely stuck, and I hate doing this for reviews, but I pulled up a guide to figure out where I had to go, and it was an area that I had attempted to go to, like, 2 dungeons prior that I couldn't progress because I didn't have the proper ability yet, and I didn't even think of trying to check that area again because there were so many different areas that you can go to. And a lot of the areas are connected by, like, mini dungeons. Like, they're not necessarily dungeons, but they're, you know, action areas that are 15, 20 screens of go through, kill the enemies, progress, that just link areas, like caves to here or field area from here to here, that you have to go through these areas to backtrack, and many of them don't have any kind of shortcuts to make it a quicker trip. Or if there are shortcuts, they're usually just one way.
So I gotta admit, you're selling, the way you're talking about, you're actually selling me on this thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they sound like nitpicks, but it's still an incredibly enjoyable game. I wish there was a little more guidance in some areas where I'm not going into areas and getting my ass kicked because I'm not supposed to be there yet. And speaking of getting your ass kicked, one of the downfalls to this game is experience loss. When you die, you lose a chunk of XP.
Oh, wow. So what if you've already, I'm guessing, what if you already spent the XP? Once you
thankfully, you do not level down. So if you end up like fighting a tough boss and he beats you a few times in a row and your XP bar is completely empty, at least you won't level down.
And there's another question then, based on what you experienced with the game, would you say that the experience plays a hefty role in how well you can do? Like, do you find something you have to grind, or was it just like, oh, it's a natural level up? That's good.
It's the thing is, the level ups, you don't get extra health or anything, but you do get different perks of either like faster shot speed, or like you can, depending on the paths that you choose, because they have like strength, agility, wisdom, stuff like that. Each one has 5 upgrades, and depending on the path that you go, you know, regenerating magic or regenerating health might be an absolute godsend. But if you don't think ahead and be like, I might not use magic much, and you just go with all strength upgrades, there might not be any point to leveling up. So it depends on if you like check everything out and how you plan everything. And it's probably a lot more helpful in additional plays of the game, because the game has 3 distinct endings, and it's one of those things where you have a handful of choices to make through the game, and if you mess up any of those choices, there's a bad ending, a neutral ending, and a good ending. So you've got to either make all bad choices, all good choices, or you get neutral. And if you replay it and you've already done neutral, you got to make sure that you're picking the right choices. That's if you have the time to read. It's a long game. There's a lot to do. They say 5 dungeons, but that's only like the main dungeons. There are still so many like mini dungeons and mini areas and side areas and hidden areas. Like, there is so fucking much to do in this game. It blows my mind.
Jeez. And it seems pretty cheap for all that, for all those opportunities, all those options.
Yeah, it's $15, which, it's kind of a standard price nowadays. I'm trying to see how much time I've put into the game already, because I feel like I have poured so much fucking time into this game, and a lot of it is with backtracking and trying to find the proper area to go. There was one spot where I was just trying to grind for money as well. I have put 7 hours into this game.
Wow.
And
sounds like it's one of those games where it might be better for a player if they decide they wanted to embark on this game to, like you mentioned earlier in one of my reviews, to have a notepad on hand or something to kind of jot down things you might notice that you couldn't access at the time.
It's just possible. Just so you
can kind of be aware. Because it might save the time down the line, because we've gotten to a point nowadays, I think, where people don't think to do stuff like that, because they just kind of figure, the game will kind of give me guidance and tell me where I need to go back to, or it'll be easy enough to find my way back here. But making a note of like, hey, block that I couldn't quite reach that seemed important. I don't know. So anything's kind of silly.
Yeah, it definitely could be helpful to have a notepad on hand to keep track of, like, well, there was a locked door here. And there was, very early in the game, there's a cabin you could go to with a locked door. So much later through the game, I finally found a key for it, went back, and I still don't have an ability I need to get the fucking chest that's in there.
Like, finally, the door's open, but I can't sit in the table.
And then I can't. The other big thing, because we kicked this off mentioning achievements, the the 7 hours I've put into this game, I have one achievement.
See, that's why I didn't think you put that much time into it.
One. And it was like one of those random, like, it's not even like you completed a boss or you defeated a, it was you found a hidden character. And it was just because I went one way in a dungeon that there was just a random hidden character there.
Hmm.
Like, there, the game is just huge. It is, there's just so much in this game.
There's not so many, but at the same time, it may not be good for the achievement hunter, but it sounds like for the person who's looking to get bang for their buck, that could be good.
I mean, it's a very enjoyable game, the very satisfying gameplay. The only thing I wish is that there was just either a smidge more guidance or an easy way to do some kind of fast traveling. Like, they have an item in the game of wings that will warp you back to the one town, but once you use the wing, it's gone, and then you have to buy a new one. And you can only hold 2 random inventory items. So it's up to you. Do you want a health potion, a magic potion, a teleportation wing? Do you want 2 health potions? Because if you get 2 of those, you're not going to teleport anywhere. If you use one, you're not going to get anything else until you go back to town. It's just, like, there's so many things that hold this game back from absolute greatness, but it's still a fantastic game as it is. It just, I feel like it could have been that much better if it had, you know, just a little bit less backtracking or a little bit less guidance or just an easier way to get around. As it is, though, for $15, it is an incredibly recommended try it.
Not to make me want to try it, to be honest, so there you have it.
Well, you should, because it's a really, really good game.
Maybe I will.
Well, it's fucking really, really fine.
Yeah.
Well, how about we talk about a game that you did try? What do you think of that?
Nah, I'd rather not. Let's talk more about LA.
Tough shit. Next game to talk about is called City Skylines, developed by Colossal Order, published by Paradox Interactive. It released April 21st on Xbox One for $39.99. Previously available on Steam, City Skylines Xbox One Edition puts you in charge of a growing city, from the groundbreaking of its first streets to the ever-changing needs of thousands of citizens. Design, build, and manage the city of your dreams, from public services to civic policies. Jesus Christ, I can't talk. And challenge yourself to grow from a simple town to a bustling metropolitan hub. God damn it. The Xbox One Edition includes the base game and the popular After Dark expansion, allowing players to plan and design for their city's nightlife and tourist attractions. Pernell, I can't talk, so you talk.
God, Jiminy Christmas, this freaking game. I'm glad we went with planet-based first, because remember I made the comment about decision paralysis?
Yes.
Take that, multiply it by an exponential value, and you will find yourself in the crippling fetal position that this game will put you in. There's so goddamn much. And it starts out small. That's the worst part. It started out small and it still was enough to break me. You kick off the game and you can choose from one of 12 different like environments. And each environment has a set level of like base, you know, criteria. Like, okay, it has this much, you know, land, like this much forested area. It has this much water. And then once you choose one of these areas to start, the game will plop you down off a highway, and it'll be like a little road that goes into a generic square that contains, you know, like the landmass that you're allowed to edit. And the game will say, hey, throw down some roads so people can get into town. And that's where you get. That's what they start you with. Everything else, just figure it the fuck out. So it's like, I guess to give you a little bit of an old story here. Back when SimCity 1 came out on the Super Nintendo, not the PC, just Super Nintendo, that was my first time really sitting down and playing it. Like, I had access to the PC version, but didn't really do much with it. And I played a fair bit of SimCity. I used to crack when it came time to manage traffic, because by the time I got to the point of managing traffic, I had already expanded my city out in such a way that I could not get traffic under control without really renovating and demolishing stuff. And I would just crack and be like, I can't do this anymore. And I'd quit. All right. SimCity 3000 came out. And it took what SimCity did and increased it in such a way that it became hyper micromanagement. You had to put down the plumbing, not just laying down a few power lines. You had to put the plumbing down. And it got ridiculous. The point where the game was like, what kind of game is it? It's an immaculate game. It's a good specimen of city, you know, city construction and sim management. But it's a lot for me. This game, Cities, it kicks you with that immediately. Already, you can't just put down three blocks of residential because now you got to lay some plumbing down. You got to lay down some power lines. But you can't put the power plant too close to the city. Because if you do, oh man, pollution bills and noise bills. Can't just put down normal roads. There's, oh God, there's like 12 different types of roads you can put down. There are two-lane roads. Two-lane roads surrounded with grass. Two-lane roads surrounded with trees. Two-lane roads going in one direction. Two-lane roads going in one direction surrounded by grass. It's surrounded by trees. And then there's four-lane roads. And it goes like a freaking like six-lane road and then an expressway. You can use, there's like context-sensitive road building. So instead of just saying like, I want a straight road, you can make it a curved road or an angled road. So it gives you a lot of different options for construction, just the roadways alone. And then you want to lay down the actual residential areas. The game does kind of at least give you some guidance on that. It'll tell you what like types of buildings that they want. Like, do you want residential zoning? Do you want commercial zoning? Or do you want industrial zoning? And you can build based on that, because that's what the city wants for it to plan or to grow and improve and whatnot. But it's just so goddamn much to do. Like, and also, I guess you're probably going to this too. So you start out with very basic things. As far as this game, so you put down some roads. Then you lay down residential, commercial, or industrial zones, which will then over time develop and populate. You have to provide those things with electricity and running water and running sewage. So you have to do both of those things. The first few times I tried to build a city, my sewer lines backed up, all of them. There was just freaking like blinking sewage pipes all over all the buildings. It was depressing. I was the worst city planner ever, and I joked with my friend Matt how there was like a freaking like ordinance going to be put in place where they can assassinate the mayor, and the winner becomes the new mayor.
Oh, God.
That was how ridiculous it was going to be. But eventually I got that under control. I actually had a few houses, a few buildings, and a few like commercial districts, a few industries lined up, and it started to kind of develop, and I just kind of let it ride, which, by the way, I would recommend people who don't know how to play this game to start with the unlimited money option, which the game does provide you the means to do. It turns off achievements, but it's a good way to have a stress-free learning field of the game, something that I did not do, and I kind of regret that because that was where a lot of my research came from as my town went into severe debt early on. I just kept building shit. So anyway, I let the game run at this point. I was content with what I had, and I want to see how it grow. And once you hit certain population levels, your town will be considered, it's considered hitting a milestone, like a population of 400 or 9,000 for that matter. And for each milestone, you will unlock new means to customize your town. And again, this is SimCity on crack. So you don't just build a school. You can build an elementary school, a middle school, a high school, or a university. You don't just build a hospital. You can build a hospital, a cemetery, a crematorium. And your people want specific types of things available to them on all fronts. You can manage healthcare. You can manage waste management. You can build landfills and incinerators. You have multiple types of power plants. It's insane. Like, there's a lot that's going on. There's a lot that goes into this game. It's not a simple sim. There's a lot of work that goes into it. So, like, I remember when you were talking to me about this when you first offered me the game, and I went to look up a little bit and see what people were saying about it. And there are people that have apparently put hundreds of hours into this game on the PC version of it. Like, literal hundreds. And I can honestly see how that would be the case, because not only do you have to kind of get off the ground running and learn what you need to do to make your city grow and thrive responsibly, but then once you pull that off, you then have to learn how to grow beyond what you originally started with, because it's almost like reaching level 5. It's like, okay, I'm finally at level 5. I get access to freaking airports. What do I do with the airports to get my city to grow properly while also not destroying what I've already established with what I've been doing when I was doing awesome at level 4? There's a lot of work that goes into this game, and there's a lot of management options they give you to do that too. So, like, you can track anything from, like, your power grid to your garbage, like how well garbage is being taken out, how happy your citizens are. You can track noise pollution, how easy it is for fire departments and police departments to get to your citizenry in different areas of the city. It's micromanagement hell. Some people like that, though, which makes it micromanagement heaven. Depends on what your taste is. But there is a lot of micromanagement involved in this game, too. So you have to be prepared for that. But I can say, just kind of flat out what I know about this game, and before I even say that, let me ask you guys, because you might know this. When is the last SimCity-like game you can think of that came out that was polished, at least? Can you even think of one?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, and with that in mind, I would say that if you have even an inkling of a desire to play SimCity, or if you have no idea what the hell SimCity is because your name is CJ and you're like 12.
I know what SimCity is.
You're all right, man. Well, like, if you were like pretty much too young for the SimCity era, so you're like kind of like, what the heck is that? What's all the big fuss about? Well, this will be a good opportunity for you to get on the floor with a modern product that tries to recreate and vastly improve upon what SimCity had. This is perfect for that. Because quite frankly, I think this game is legit. This is a very, very solid game. And though it is $40, you're getting $40 worth of gameplay here. This isn't a dumbed down product at all. This isn't a game where you'll feel like you got ripped off if you give them the full value of the game. You're getting a full blown, authentic city sim construction game. You can actually watch the citizenry walk, or like basically like, well, you can watch the city thrive and active. You can watch things actually get built up and constructed. It's just a nice, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful game to watch yourself to be able to create these elaborate cities of your own choosing, and then just kind of watch them thrive. Watch the populace do its thing. Watch them complain about how much of a terrible mayor you are and speculate they're plotting your assassination at every waking moment of their lives. All these things. So I don't know. I recommend this game wholeheartedly. Like, I think it's a great game, and it's worth every penny.
Nice. Sounds awesome.
You're like, what the hell? You're like, you don't know what the heck he just said. Like, what the hell was that guy talking about?
You were like, words and words and words and then other words.
So many words.
But I mean, honestly, this, if anything, this game's review has also taught me, this might be a prime example of a time where, like, when it comes to certain game reviews, I might start throwing down paragraphs or something, because this game is massive.
Well, that's what I did for Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. I literally wrote the whole thing out. It was over 1,100 words.
See, I can believe it. See, I might have to jump on that bandwagon for certain games like this.
Yeah, because I haven't done that in 3 months. In this game, I had to do it because there was just so much. And there's still stuff that I chose to leave out that weren't necessary.
Like, you didn't talk about what the family actually fought about. You just told us that they fought.
The daddy hit mommy again.
Well, it wasn't a family. It was a... that review's already over. I said that I didn't want to get into it too much.
If the family from that game lived in my city in this game, how would that play out?
Well, you'd have a lot of dead people in your city.
A lot of traffic jams.
Actually, that's kind of funny. We just came up with a game idea right there. A city sim construction game where you can then slap an FPS into it.
You know what would be great? A Hitman game, but instead, it's not like you're killing bad targets or anything. It's a free roam. You're in a city, and you just kill certain civilians that people hire you to kill. And that's literally the whole thing. Like, you just go up onto the top of a building, a skyscraper, or whatever, and just snipe a civilian. Would be fun.
You do know how much, man, the news will be all over that.
If GTA 5 can get away with whatever they want, so can this game.
That's this is true. But it would have to be cartoony as all hell. You have to have Cousin Ramon like, hey, cousin! You snipe me? They had to have all the bells and whistles of Goofy-dom in there just to kind of pass the censors.
Yeah, you were just taking pills the entire time. You weren't actually shooting a gun. You were shooting a fucking, like, one of those party poppers.
Exactly. There you go. It's like, man, it turns out you're like in a mental ward just laying there. Like, he just keeps yelling about how awesome his sniping skills are. He's just sitting there.
That sounds like an old, like an insane Call of Duty player. My sniping skills are so good.
That's what it would pretty much be. The end result would be you're actually like a mental patient who's just laid up, hopped up on meds, and he's just like kind of occasionally like drooling and like kind of like randomly going, mother, or whatever. And it would just kind of pass the buck to just ultimately allow them to get away with you actually doing these things because you're not actually doing them. You're just laid up wishing you were doing those things. So it would happen. Oh, yeah, but cities, buy it.
Sounds good.
And now that you've heard our game idea, you know, we won't. You don't need to pay us anything for it. Have it for free.
Damn, oh, on it. Man.
On that note, I guess that's it for the reviews. That'd be Airy Tang.
Does that mean it's time to eat some soup?
Yes, it is. It is soup and tortellini time. I have no idea what I'm going to play for music today, but I'll play something.
Find a song about SpaghettiOs.
Oh, God.
Oh, SpaghettiOs! Like the metal SpaghettiOs song.
See if Chris will do something. SpaghettiOs! Motherfucking SpaghettiO!
But he has to play the drums using cans of SpaghettiOs.
Oh, God. Speaking of cans, my friend Sean did a song years ago called The Drugstore Sells Sparks, and he did all the percussion on a can. So I'll play that one and then some other stuff.
Oh, fuck! Yep. CJ with the fucking backup plan. I just refer to myself in the third person.
What's the backup? That's just a plan.
I don't know. You didn't have a plan. So
there's CJ with the primary game plan.
Maybe I'll just play a bunch of Ale Sean. So
it's a good thing.
That'll be good. We'll do that. Listeners so that's it for this episode. Pernell, do you have any final words to end the show?
If you suffer from decision paralysis, please seek assistance from your nearest guidance counselor or support network.
We'll be right back.